So we are continuing looking at hearing God and understanding what that means. And I'm going to tell you some stories and get you interacting and in the message today. Now, I'm going to try and get my notes open here. Have you ever received some feedback? Now, this may be in school, college, work, family, or a job interview, or something like that. Have you ever received some feedback which you found very challenging and you perhaps thought, that was a bit critical? Put your hand up if you have. I think we probably have all, at some point, received some feedback and we thought, that's just not fair. It's not really true, and I'm really offended. And this can be a whole range of things. Maybe after a job interview you don't get, and I've had plenty of job interviews where I've not got the job, and you get the feedback and you think, that's not what I said, that's not fair. Or maybe in work, and you do something and a manager comes over and it gives their feedback, and you think, yeah, you've only got half of the truth there. Actually, I did all this, and you don't see, and it was that other person. Or maybe it's at school, and you get told off. We all got that, when the whole class gets told off. We hate that, don't we? When one person, and it's, we know who it is, let's be honest, and it was nothing to do with us, and then the whole class gets chastised because of it. And we just, it's just not fair. And we get, you know, we can, you know, inside us, we think, that's just not fair. The sense of injustice rises up. And we want to defend ourselves, justify ourselves, prove that we were right. And often, sometimes in the cold light of day, maybe after when the blood pressure drops, we sometimes see that maybe there was some truth in that. But still, it's not fair. How dare they say it? And I've had quite a bit of feedback. I think over the last 6 or so months, there's been quite a few things where, particularly in a work context, things have been fed back to me. And I thought, that's just not fair. Or I've done some work and someone's taken it, completely changed it. And I thought, what was the point in even me doing it? Has anyone ever had that? Yeah. Well, a few weeks ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was one of these long dreams that went on for quite some time. And it culminated in me at a Christian conference, sitting down, speaking to a Christian church leader. And to that leader, I said, this is my words in the dream, whenever we receive feedback, whether it is good or bad, it is always an opportunity to humble ourselves. Whenever we receive good feedback, good or bad, whether it's true or not, whether it's good or bad, whether it's constructive or just critical, it is always an opportunity to humble ourselves. And I woke up and it was 3 a.m. And I knew that this was a dream from God. Because over the last 5 or 6 years, I've had a lot of dreams, which I believe are from God. I've had a lot of dreams that I don't really remember, which I know aren't from God. And prior to that period, these 5 or 6 years, I didn't really have, this wasn't part of my story. But I've learnt when these specific dreams happen that God is speaking and I write them down. And they very commonly happen just before I wake up, my alarm goes in the morning and I'm, the dream, ah. Or in the middle of the night, like this one, and I wake up immediately. And if I went through them all, like, give me a moment, but I could tell you all the details of all these dreams over the last 5 or 6 years. I've learned to recognize when God is speaking to me through my dreams. And not long after this dream, guess what? I had some feedback, which I didn't really agree with. It was a work thing. And I thought, no, that's not really fair. And I remembered my very own words in the dream. When we receive feedback, whether it's good or bad, it is always an opportunity to what? Defend myself? To go back fighting? No, to humble myself. To humble myself. And it doesn't mean to say we don't point out the error of other people's assessment. Nicely, humbly, gracefully. It doesn't mean to say we don't use some opportunity to explain that perhaps the situation wasn't like what a person thought, a manager or a friend or a work colleague or a family member. No. But actually, what is to be my attitude? What is to be my attitude? It is to be one of humility. You see, the Lord uses these circumstances to do a work in our hearts, to do a work in my heart. Because he is more interested in the condition of my heart than me winning petty arguments about whether I'm right or wrong on fairly inconsequential issues, particularly in the context of eternity. He is more interested and more determined in that my heart will be one full of his glory, his grace, and his mercy. You see, when I receive this feedback, what if I acted defensively, aggressively, pointing out all the errors of the other person? Because we often do that when we're criticised. We say, well, you think this is wrong with me? Well, here's 10 things which are wrong with you. Not just me that's done that, I'm sure. What would have that done for the kingdom? What would have that done for the gospel? Well, it wouldn't have done very much, really, would it? But if I respond with humility, truth, and grace, what does that demonstrate to that person that I'm feeding, that I'm in dialogue with? What does that demonstrate about the character and nature of the Lord I follow? It demonstrates that he is full of grace and mercy. See, the Lord is passionate about the state of my heart, that it will be inclined towards his glory and his purpose, his ways. And he will use whatever circumstance arises in my life to turn it to good and his glory, if I will listen and, the key word, obey. What does God say about humility? Well, there's a well-known verse in chapter 57 of Isaiah, and it says this. The Lord says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. And Jesus said, I am gentle and humble in heart. And elsewhere it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if we are struggling to encounter God, if we don't feel God, if we can't hear him and don't know where he is, it might be that one of the reasons is that you're up here in pride. And God doesn't live up here. He's down here. And actually, the kingdom of God is upside down. To find him who is holy, we go low in humility. We go low in humility. And he uses all these circumstances in our life to call us into a place of humility, into a place where Jesus is. And actually, I was just reflecting on this before I stood up here, that there are many people who derail the purposes of God in their lives because they will not humble themselves. They will not humble themselves, and they derail the purposes of God in their lives. So why am I telling all this, and we're doing a series of Hearing God? Well, I'm telling you this because this is a very recent situation, a story in my life where I heard God, I heard him speak to me, and I responded because I recognized his voice and I applied it to my life, humbling myself, receiving his challenge, and turning my heart to Jesus. You see, ultimately, he is calling us to follow him. How often we want Jesus just to follow us and fulfill the desires and whims of our own heart. But he calls us to follow him, to give him glory, and in doing so, discovering the most fulfilling life we can have, life in all its fullness, despite the challenges of humility and the knocks and all the things that happen in life. He is calling us to follow him, not the other way around. So that's the story of God speaking to my life. And we're going to be looking at that in the time we have this morning. I want to use a flip chart, and I don't know how to do this with. So I'm going to ask a willing volunteer to be a scribe. Who likes writing on flip charts? Don't all say at once. Well, not. I need someone with neat handwriting and who can spell. I'm sorry, that's awful, isn't it? Put the pressure on. God, Jacob, do you fancy doing it? Oh, Jacob as well. Matt, do you mind doing it? Good lad. Matt, sorry. Right, so now we've been looking at lots of different ways God speaks, and Donald last week talked about lots of different ways. I think he came up with 7. I'm just going to quickly categorize. There's 4 key ways that God speaks to us, and we're just going to write them down on the flip chart. So there's 4 key ways, and all the ways kind of fit into one of these 4 categories. So number 1, What's the main way that God speaks to us? Anyone? The Bible, that's it. Number one, the Bible. This is the key way that God speaks to us. He always speaks through his word. We can learn how to understand it and to read it and context, etc. But he always speaks through his word. Okay, another way that God might speak to us. Through others. Brilliant. Yeah, other people. Sometimes unbelievers, commonly believers. Another phrase is the council of the saints. And I know when I've been making big life decisions, I'm always looking for three things about big life decisions. One, is there an open door? What does my internal witness say? But what do others say? And often we can be so proud and think, I'm not interested what other people think. No, what do other people think? You submit it to the council of the saints. Okay, we're looking for two others. Another way that God might speak to us. Yes, dreams and visions. So we're going to put that under the category of direct revelation, which would include dreams and visions, which would include the whisper of God to our hearts, maybe even an audible voice. All of the prophetic comes into this, okay? Which is actually mingled with other people, for we might hear through other people. And I remember as a teenager, just crying out to God to speak to me. Just crying out to God to speak to me with no real agenda. God, would you speak to me? Would you speak to me? I was praying and I heard this direct voice into my spirit and he said, I love you. I thought, wow, that's what God wanted to say to me. Very, very, very clear, very short, but just what I needed. I love you. So that direct revelation, which comes through lots of different forms, and we categorize, bring all the prophetic into that. And one other, who else can think of another kind of the other one? No. Creation. That's it. I would put that into sort of direct revelation. So that covers a vast majority of things. And creation. So for me, these are the four key ways which God speaks, and everything sort of falls into these categories. My youngest son, Kieran, said to Emma recently, I think God's speaking to me through creation. Wow, that's really revelatory. And then he started to talk about some story about wolves, and I don't know where we take him to see wolves, but he said God spoke to me through the wolves. I don't remember a walk where we encountered wolves, but he may have been Blair Drum and Safari Park, we're not entirely sure, but it's creation's other way. So these are kind of four clear categories, and everything kind of fits into these in different ways. So it may be wisdom kind of comes through other people, it may be direct revelation comes through other people. So there's kind of, these are the four clear categories. Argue me if you think you're right, fine, don't worry about it. But those are the four clear categories. So Matt, you can have a seat, but I'm going to need you in a bit as well. So that's really helpful just to kind of see that kind of clear stuff. Now we're going to look at a story in the book of Samuel, and I'm going to read the verses. And I think Francis was saying to me it was picked up at Hub this week, so if you were there, you'll be all over this. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to read the verses, and then I'm going to ask, sorry, this is very interactive. You're thinking, Tom, we've done enough work already this morning. But I'm going to ask just to get some key points back as we reflect on this story. So we are looking at Samuel, the first book of Samuel, as it's called in our Bibles, and chapter 3. And I'm going to read 10 verses. So the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, the Lord, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And I could go on in the story, but I just don't want to, because I'll lose the kind of the point of the message today. Just a bit of context. So Samuel is a boy who'd been dedicated to serving the Lord. His mother had not had children for a long time, and then she cried out to God and said, I will dedicate him to serving the Lord. She became pregnant and Samuel was born, and that's how he ends up serving in the temple as a young boy out of his normal family. And he goes on to become one of the major prophets of the people of God and does remarkable things, absolutely remarkable things. So, Matt, I'm going to need you again. So well done for listening attentively. We remember we did a bit of the Bible discovery tool last summer and we're doing it in small groups. And I think this is similar to that. So, okay, who are the main people in the story? Now, this might sound a bit Sunday school and a bit obvious, but we're trying to really get this into our souls. Who are the main people? What happens at the beginning? Anyone? I know some of you are happier shouting out than others, but go for it. Samuel. We've got Samuel. It's a Trinitarian story. A triumvirate of Bible characters. Okay, what happens? God calls Samuel. How many times? You can write that down, Matt. The call of God. And what happens between Samuel and Eli? Eli wants to be left alone. He's getting bothered by this boy. He keeps coming up to him in the middle of the night. Anyone who's had young children knows the pain of Eli. Just, your ear's not really hurting. Go to bed. okay. Eli, yeah, keep writing, Matt. Eli getting a bit bothered. He wants to be in the land. He wants to be sleeping. And what's the key moment in this story where there's some wisdom, where God kind of shows up in the people? We've seen Samuel, God speaking. What's the key moment? That's it. Eli has a revelation. He has a revelation. Even he has wisdom. There's something going on here. And how easy would it have been to say, go away, Samuel, I'm fed up. But he has a revelation. That is the key moment. What does Samuel do? That one word. He obeys. He obeys. He does it. He obeys. That is a key word in this story. So we see obedience. Thank you, Matt. I want to stay there one moment. Now, what I want to do for a few minutes before I give some summary, I do want us just to reflect with the person sitting next to you. Sorry, this is all a bit like school, but or the person sitting behind you or in front of you, if you don't want to. But just reflect on one question for a few minutes. And Matt, do you mind writing this question down? You're doing a great job. I must admit, you are doing fantastically well. What do we learn about hearing God through this story? What do we learn about hearing God through this story? What do we learn about hearing God? So just a few minutes and then I'll come back and we'll hear some kind of reflections and I'll give some summary before we pray. Okay, go for it. Okay, just one more minute. Okay, 20 seconds. Great, okay, well done. Sounds like there's lots of interesting conversation going on there. So I've got a few points, but I'll only share them if they're not properly, you know, if we don't come through the conversation. So thank you for doing that. Let's start over on this side, gentlemen. Any quick pithy point, one thing that you reflected on? Persistence. Anyone else kind of raise that? That was your point, Helen, was it? That was your killer point. God's persistence. Yeah, I mean it's God keeps speaking to us. Go on, write that down, Matt. Persistence. God will keep speaking to us. Three times God spoke to Samuel before he responded. Three times. Do you think the Lord lost his patience? No, he did not. He is so, 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 so patient. So patient with us. He keeps speaking, and he just, because it takes us a while. Samuel became one of the most remarkable prophets of God. Remarkable prophets. He just didn't speak God's word. He did stuff. He anointed David. He tells Saul he'd lost his kingdom. These remarkable things. This was a man of action. Yet he didn't even recognize God at the beginning. Doesn't that give us kind of encouragement? Encouragement. So God is patient. He's patient with us. And don't worry if you think you've missed God's voice. Don't worry about it. Don't think, oh, maybe I've missed God's voice. Just be in a position, humility, of saying, God, I might have missed your voice, but Lord, would you speak? Your servant is listening. Okay, another thing. I'm sorry, I picked on you, but I'm not going to pick on anyone. Anyone else want to share a point? Well, if you don't say anything, I will pick on you. So, you know. Personal, that's it. And a bit more, Stuart? Personal, go on. Why do you think personal? Called him by his name. I think that's such a good point. God knows our name. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows when you rise and when you sleep. He sees you through the watches of the night. He knows your name. He knows your name. That's so good, Stuart. Okay, another one. Oh, we've got two at the back. Go on, Abby. He waited for a response. That's kind of continuation of that patient theme. He was there. He didn't just, let's go and find another Samuel. Let's go and find
Samuel.
Yeah. Yeah. He was polite. We've got a P. He's polite. Yeah, John. Yeah. Yeah, this is one of my points. It takes time to learn to God's voice. It takes time, and you have to tune in. That is so good. Someone else had to tell him what to do. What do we think?
Proficiency.
Yes. Yeah, he was proficient. He became proficient. Proficiency was developed. Yeah. Who knows how you spell it? Adrian does, I'm sure. You know, and other teachers and things. Okay. Yeah, he learned how to hear God's voice. And it was Eli, who really was a very fallen, kind of compromised individual. And actually, for those who know the story, who read on after I finished reading, what God says to Samuel is a remarkable, personal, devastating judgment on Eli and his family. And then basically Samuel stays up all night thinking, how am I going to say this? And Eli says in the morning, tell me what God said and don't hold anything back. And it's a mark of the Samuel that he said it told him everything. And Eli just, well, so be it. You know, but someone else helped him and he became a proficient, but it took time. Okay, any other points? I know some of you are bursting to say a killer point, but you're just going to... I think that's a good point. What was their expectation? What's our expectation? Do we expect God to speak to us? Or is that just for the, you know, someone who's kind of full of the Spirit, who's knows the Bible, who's maybe even studied theology, who's been a Christian a long time? Do you know what? A mark of Christian maturity is being able to hear God through the newest of believers. Because that, going back to my point about humility, you know, to be able to hear God through the newest, immature, someone who hasn't got their life together at all, that is a mark of maturity, saying, you've been a believer for 5 minutes. You might not even be over the line yet, but I can see God is speaking to you and through you to me. That is a mark of Christian maturity. And it's that sense of, do we expect to hear God? Do we expect to hear God? You know, each one of us is made in the image of God. We are his image bearers. We are made to be like him. With his Spirit in us, we are spirit beings. He is Spirit. He does and will speak to all of us, to every single one of us. He will speak, because I believe we are made in his image. I remember very early on in my Christian walk, I ruled myself out from certain things in the Spirit. I said, I will never do something. I think it was interpret a tongue. I will never do that. I just ruled myself out. How many times do we rule ourselves out from hearing God or doing something that God says? We speak these things over ourselves, and it's not true and it's not good. We can all hear his voice. Okay, a couple more quickly as time's coming to an end. Yeah, yeah. We don't need the trumpets of heaven. It's the whisper. It's the still small voice. Into our souls, like that time I said where I just felt God said, I love you. That wasn't, you know, that was just a really simple message, but it's what I needed. Any more? Yeah, so good. And I mean, the thing we've already talked about was Samuel's obedience. And I think that's so, so important. And how many times does the Lord speak to us? And I know this in my own life. How many times has the Lord spoken to me? And he keeps speaking to me because I haven't yet reached a place of total obedience on things that he's spoken to me about. And that might sound a bit, oh, Tom, how can you say that? But I think the reality is that many of us may share that testimony. There'll be things that the Lord will say to us and we have to come back in repentance and say, Lord, you've spoken to me, but I've still not got full obedience on this. Yeah. That's what obedience is. Obedience is not, well, let me think about that. Let's kind of review this over a few months. Let's put it to a group of people and see whether this is really the kind of thing I should be doing. That's not what the Lord says. That's not what the Lord says. He calls us into wholehearted, immediate obedience. It's hard. But he calls us into obedience. And that is the mark of a true disciple. Jesus is not following us to fulfill our whims and desires. He's calling us to follow him, that we would obey him. Thanks, Matt. You can sit down now. So I hope that's been a helpful exercise and process, just going through that. And I just want to finish quickly with this, the promise in to us all, and lead into some prayer here. Jesus is recorded as saying in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep... listen to my voice. That's John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And that is, for me, a key promise over this whole subject of hearing God. That my sheep know my voice. We've talked about sheep already this morning, haven't we? And the shepherd, our shepherd, our wonderful, calm, faithful, holy, peaceful shepherd in Jesus, who calms the raging storms with his voice, who created all of creation with his voice. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. And you might have ruled yourself out from hearing God. You might have said, I can never hear God. That is a lie. For the Lord says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So in the last few minutes, just going to take a moment to pray. And it may be that that's your story. You say, I don't hear God. God never speaks to me. Why? And that might be because you just don't feel worthy. Well, that's a lie too, because you are created in God's image. And he is speaking to you. And like Samuel, it may take some time, but that's fine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word in this story of Samuel and Eli and how you came and spoke. And how you commissioned Samuel in that moment, how you brought him close. You pursued him and brought him close. And Father, I pray for us. Yes. Would we know you in this same way? Your voice to us, bringing us close, commissioning us, calling us, speaking to us. And Lord, would you raise our expectation of faith of your word? I pray, Father. And I pray right now in this moment, Lord, would we hear your voice? Would we hear your voice, I pray? Would you speak to us, I pray, each and every one of us? Whether it's words of comfort or words of challenge, words of hope and promise, or maybe other things, Lord, that we need to hear. Lord, I pray you would impart to us your word, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray, breathe in us by your Spirit. Fill us afresh with your presence, I pray. Fill us afresh with the living word. Your amazing presence, Lord. The blessing of your Spirit. I pray you'd fill us afresh, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Ed, just as I was praying and you feel God spoken to you and there's something that you need to share, that's a really helpful thing. Share it with a trusted friend and talk and pray about it.